Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Good morning. Thank you for joining us here again live at On Point. I'm your host, A. Trey. And I want to thank you for joining us again this week. I got here with me my Ace Kumbo, my friend, my boy, my partner, James Moore. Dr. Moore, how you doing?
I'm doing well, sir. How you doing this morning?
Not bad. And over live from Radio Phoenix and On Point, we're On Point. Lady Sincere, how are you today? How are you doing?
I'm doing good. And you, sir? Thank you for asking.
Not bad. Thank you. Sir Chris, how you feeling today? How you feeling? You with us?
I'm good, brother. How you doing? How's everybody doing? Peace, fam.
Not too bad.
Going
well. Thank you. And I know I got Ty Trees up there in the loop. How you feeling today, sir? Okay. Well, I see you out there, and feel free to chime in with us today. We got this. We're going to start this off. First, I want to give a major shout out today. Forgive me if I'm a little choppy. Thank you, Radio Phoenix, for inviting us over and having us over here at On Point. We'll be joining with Radio Phoenix. As of November the 7th, from 7 to 8 o'clock, 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. on Radio Phoenix. And you'll be able to get there to us at radiophoenix.org. And
Every Saturday evening,
and tunein.com. And we just want to say thank you for all of our listeners for helping us get pushed over into that area. Lady Treese, Lady Sincere, we appreciate you for having our back and supporting us as well. And
no doubt.
And that's the thing. That's a big step for us. And you know what? We're just going to keep taking it a little bit further, a little bit higher. And we thank all our listeners for your support. Thank you so very much. I know you probably got a chance to read the banner. We said, oh, my goodness. What's a funkadoodle? Okay, here we are again. We're at it this time. At this time, we have a police officer tossing a young female school student to the ground after choking her, grabbing her by her neck. And the question is, will this ever come to an end? What must be done so that the officers of the law show some prudence, some restraint, some patience, and a bit more thought about their actions? And now nearly every week there's an incident, and it's blasted across, in this new technological age, it's blasted across the airways and across TVs and video you're seeing. And the thing is, what type of epidemic is flourishing in our nation, and what can we do about it? What do we do to stop it? And in this segment, State of Our Union, that's what we're going to talk about today. And we're going to discuss this in depth, and we want to hear from you. We want to hear from you. So I know you're listening. 347-855-8662. That's 347-855-8662. And four cases, South Carolina being the most recent, Texas, and Arizona. The most recent one, the young lady is sitting in her classroom. And because of a certain learning disability, she's a special ed student. She's rather quiet. And she has her phone. And when they found what was on there, that was kind of crazy too. It's something that relays everything that relays what you're hearing. She's recording what the teacher is saying. Teacher asks for the phone, give it back, and she says no. Well, she has very little to hold on to because, one, she's a foster child, so she's in and out of different places. Even though she's just got placed at the home that she's been at, no more than a month, she's also an orphan. She lost both her parents. Grandparents wouldn't take her, and she's second probate ward of the state. That means if the foster care doesn't pick her up, then she goes right back to the state. So anything that these children get, they hold on to. Well, the teacher, not doing the teacher's things that older teachers used to do, teachers like when I went to school used to do, they want to get to know you. They want to learn about your parents, your grandmother, what size drawers you were wearing. If this is something you do on a regular basis, they got to know their student. This woman didn't. And they called the police. And that's another thing. In South Carolina, it's a school policed state. I'll explain that. Anyway, the officer comes in, asks the young lady for her to stand up. She says, why? What did I do? He asked her to stand up, and she said, I didn't do anything. She never raises her hand, never raises her voice, doesn't kick, doesn't swing, doesn't spit, doesn't scratch, does nothing. And the officer grabs her around her neck, snatches her backwards, pulls her by her neck and then her hair, slams her to the floor, grabs her by the back of her blouse, and then throws her across the floor. And his question was, why are you making me out to be the bad guy? Hot damn, can somebody say something about this?
I guess we all can. Feel free. Oh. Okay. I'm sorry, Vince. I'm gonna say this and then I'm gonna pass it on to you, James. But I just feel with the whole situation, it went too far. For one, they didn't mention that this young lady has two mental illnesses. So by her taking this medication made her really quiet. You know, so it made her really. It didn't make her say a lot. When I saw the video last night, like 2 to 3, if not 4 times. Is that she was just sitting there. She wasn't saying anything. She wasn't doing anything rude. She was just sitting there. He walked up on her, grabbed her, didn't talk to her at all, just went up and just straight manhandled her, flipped her over, yanked her out the seat, told her to get on the ground, put his knee in her chest. He did too much. And not so much only that, like, he's been in trouble before. Like, why keep letting him be on the police field or police force with him being this way? I mean, he went too far with it, and that's ridiculous. This girl has already been through enough as is with her mental situation, her being in a foster care, and then you come around and you flip her over. And I understand she probably shouldn't have been on her cell phone. I get that whole thing, but it didn't have to be taken to that point. That was extremely too much. That was too much. She's only a teenager. Come on now. Come on now.
And she was being rude or out of character. Right, and she actually presented herself, and I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. She presented herself as no threat to the officer in any way, form,
yes.
fashion, or manner.
No threat. She's little. Look how big he is. Look how little she is.
Well,
like she was a rag doll.
Go ahead. I think,
I'm going to speak on behalf of the foster kids because I'm one of them. I came up through the system, and I may have mentioned before, I did 2 tours in the foster care system. And I'll tell you, that doesn't make a student or a person a bad person. And you mentioned that, you know, I believe, Patrice, you mentioned that she was holding on to whatever it is that she has. When you're a foster kid, depending on the type of foster home you're in, you may not have anything. And so, yes, I could see her standing up for whatever little that she did have. But the other thing, too, is sometimes the foster care system, and I'm going to tell you this from experience, if you don't have the right type of foster parents, you are going to, and she didn't attack the officer or anything like that, but you're gonna protect yourself and hold on to anything and everything that you have because you don't trust people. That's just how the system works. Now, given that she didn't attack this officer, she sat there and she did nothing until he went up behind her and choked her. Now, at the point that he choked her, she hit him on the arm. It was more of a, like a I'm tapping out kind of move, let me go kind of thing. But let's just say that she was combative, even if she had been combative, she didn't weigh but maybe 95 pounds. He at least had to be 200 pounds. He had her by a good 100, 150 pounds probably.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
What I'm upset about is at no point did he go in and assess the situation. He went directly into put your hands behind your back. He didn't ask her. He didn't talk to her. He didn't take any time to analyze what happened. Now, I'm going to give you a quick example of why that's important. For my son's school, I tutor the chess team. And we have a gentleman who's from China, one of the students. Now, he speaks fluent Spanish and fluent Chinese, a little bit of English. Now, I can speak a little bit of Spanish, so, you know, in chess club, I converse with him. But the rule is no phones out. And the teacher was going at him one day and was like, hey, put your phone away. And he turned to her and showed her the application that was on there, and it was a translator that helped him translate English into a language that he could understand. And she made an exception. Now, I understand that the school rule is put your phones away, but if he's trying to learn and he's trying to absorb the information and he's not being combative, he wasn't being recalcitrant, he was trying to learn. And I think that's the piece that officer, and I'm going to go as far as to say the teacher missed out on that too, because the teacher didn't query as to what the nature of the offense was. And then after all that was said and done, I'm going to tell you, this is on a personal note, what chapped my hide is that you've got 20 students, one police officer, and one teacher, or an administrator, someone who had a walkie-talkie on their side. Nobody stepped in to defend that little girl. That infuriates me. No one stepped in and said, hey, officer, she was not doing anything of a dangerous nature. She wasn't hurting anyone, wasn't hurting herself. Back off a little bit. Nobody stood up. You heard some moans and groans when someone filmed, but no one stepped in. I think that as Americans, as citizens of this country, and people of this planet, somebody should have stepped in to help that little girl out. That's just me.
Can I say something? I agree.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's the thing, and I've been telling you guys this, like, because we've done topics similar to this before, and I've been telling you guys this off and on, and nobody seems to think about. Well, yeah, that too, but I was trying to think of a better word, but leave me alone. So the thing is like, and I saw the video. I watched the video several different times. And everybody's correct in their assessment, but nobody is the reason why nobody stepped in to help the little girl is because they become complacent. They're so used to seeing things like this happen, you know, almost on a weekly to daily basis now that it becomes commonplace to not do anything and just stand there and videotape it. These individuals that do these heinous acts, and I do consider it a heinous act, these individuals that do these things, they know that the worst that's going to happen to them is they're going to get a slap on the wrist, which is why they continue to do it. They also know that the general public is not going to retaliate. There's an interesting video that CNN did, and it was in retaliation. It happened directly after the incident, and one of the parents, he wasn't the parent of the little girl, but he was a parent.
Oh, yeah.
He got up in front of the school board, and he informed the school board that if that had been his little daughter, he would have came down to the school and the officer would have suffered justifiably. He was very angry, and I was surprised that a lot of the people in the background, they clapped to what he was saying. It's what's needed. Like, the time for standing around and taking pictures with your camera phone and things of that nature, we're beyond that now.
I get it. I get what you're saying. You're saying that it's time for more action. Well, of course, it's been time for action. But then here's the thing. No, don't put your camera away. Don't. It's because people have because people have these cameras.
We go out and injure police officers either. I don't think.
No. In no way are we condoning or suggesting or even mildly so. Go out and stomp a police officer's tail today.
No,
Hold on. I'm on your side right now. All I'm saying is this. We had this talk earlier, and I believe, and we said this earlier today, this morning. If things go unchecked, there was a question about the criminal mind. How is it that people come to have criminal thoughts, or they pursue criminal behavior, or they get away, or they commit crimes? And I said, it's because they're allowed to.
Yeah,
Nobody puts them in
check
when they start out. And I came with this analogy. It's like you have a car. Its job is to get you from point A to point B. And so it rides smooth when you get it. You know, that's cool. Just like a police officer, they ride smooth. They cool because that's what they're supposed to do. And all of a sudden, time goes by. And they're starting to be wear and tear, and they become more adept to their general surroundings, and they start to break down. Well, the engine light comes on, you see it needs to be serviced, but you don't check it as it happens. You don't check it when it happens, and you let it just continue to go. So it's just going to continually break down, and because you never checked it in the first place, definitively, it just stops working the way it was supposed to. People, I don't give a damn what kind of suit or uniform or whatever you got on. You're still a human being.
Exactly.
Everyone has flaws. Everyone. Police officers are no different. They are flawed individuals in uniforms. And they make human mistakes on a regular basis. And they just, the law that they're supposed to uphold has to be kept in compliance to that law or placed in check. And I'll tell you, if an officer got out of pocket with my child, and one did, he would be put in check where he stood or where she stood. And I'd remind them vigorously, you are just a man or just a woman who is here in this uniform to uphold the law, and in no way, in any capacity, am I, a parent, going to allow you to outstep over those boundaries or break. That's just how it goes. Every parent listening to my voice, one, put your kids in check. Teachers are not babysitters. Two, put yourself in check. Make sure that you're aware of what your children do. No, you can't babysit them every 24 hours a day, but you know teenagers, they can act just a little bit ugly. I know, I had some. And three, keep those that are watching your children in check. Make sure you go back up to the schools. That's what my parents did, my grandparents did. Go back to the schools. Go back to the classes. Take a damn interest in what your kids do. That's what we're supposed to do. And the moment that we become that much more involved in what our children do, and I'm sticking to the children form right here because this is what we're talking about, the moment we become that much more concerned, that much more knowledgeable of what's happening in the places that our children are, everyone else that sees us, they'll know those kids are governed. They are protected. They are watched. They knew my mother by first name basis. That's supposed
That's a good point, Trey. And I think, and I'm not blaming what happened to this little girl on the parents, because obviously the foster care system chews into this situation. And for any kids, I'm not necessarily blaming the parents anytime someone mistreats the kids. But growing up, they knew my mom. She went to the school. We didn't have a phone. So anytime she wanted to know something, unfortunately for me, she went to the school. And, that was not a pleasant thing for me. And my mom was outlandishly dressed, in my opinion, because she was part of a movement, so she tended to wear a dashiki and a head wrap. So she looked like Erykah Badu before Erykah Badu was born.
More
so,
power to her. More power to her, man. More power.
70s, No, it's not a bad thing. She would roll up to the school wearing a head wrap, you know, kind of like an ankh-looking kind of thing, and a dashiki dress. And she would commence to go to the front of the class and have a conference with my teacher there in front of the whole entire class. And everybody
I'm familiar
knew
with
that was my mom. I'll tell you, man, I'm going to tell you one time she came there, and I had been cutting up. I'm not going to lie. I was in fifth grade, and I saw her. She had the head wrap on, and she was bobbing her head like saying, and I saw all this. And she stood up after the conference. And she turned to me in front of, you know, all your boys there, all your fellas. And she put her hands on her hips. Now, remember, imagine how she was dressed. And she mouthed the words, "I'm going to whoop your ass when we get home." She didn't say it. She mouthed it. And I can read it perfectly. I had no problems, and neither did anybody else. And so for the rest of the day, all I heard is, "She ain't going to whoop your ass." I heard this the whole day. And when I got home, she commenced to doing exactly that. And but guess what? She was in touch. She was in touch with me too. But you know, everyone knew, like, hey, you know, if you cut up, and I got teased, I'm gonna call your mama. Like, it was horrible in a way. But guess what? I didn't really get out of line other than doing a little extra talking in class. Nothing that, you know, caused an incident such as this. And I think that's the piece we've lost, is those parents. There are parents who come to the school, and then there are parents who come to the school. And there's a difference.
And on that, because of that action, the police presence we see, that didn't exist. That police presence we see now, that didn't exist. Our parents were so involved. You know, I'm not blaming the parents, and I'm not blaming the kids. Kids are going to be kids. But
that's not the only reason why it didn't exist back then. The other reason is that police actually tried to talk to you back then. I'm from a small town, so like most of the cops in my area, they knew everybody. Mm-hmm. They tried to talk to you before they took you to jail. Police don't do that anymore. They're taught to they're only concerned with compliance now, and if you don't, you're getting a beat down.
I think that some of these police officers, if not some, I think the whole police team, I think that they need to be tested before getting out into the field, because some of these police officers do the job for all the wrong reasons. And
They're tested before they even get out there. I don't know if any of you have ever seen like some of the psych questions that they ask. The psych questions that they ask are very extensive before you even, and this is when you apply for the job.
Here's a question. Has anybody ever cheated on a math test? Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah,
we all out of school
yeah,
now, so it's okay.
But to cheat on a psych test is very hard, because they ask you the same question.
Let me tell you, here's something. The mid-range evaluation that they give now for job, for employment, for financial institutions, is compared to that same test.
Not the one I'm talking about.
I know. I wanted to go that same route until I witnessed something else. I wanted to go the same route. I saw the test, aced it, no big deal. Here's the thing. Tell them what they want to hear, and I'm going to just put it at that. In South Carolina, let me get on this real quick. In South Carolina, they have this thing called disturbing schools law.
Right.
And that officer, Mr. Fields, Ben Fields, he was one of those officers stationed at the school for anything the children are now criminalized and for their actions. So if you tell the teacher no, or they, if you, you ask the teacher, why did you say that? Or I can't do this for you. Their thing is call the police. And the police thing is to treat you like a criminal. Not to mediate. That's done. And that's piss poor. And it's sorry. And but that's exactly what it's come down to. And now the FBI are investigating. And I was telling someone earlier, they have over 7,200 police officers in schools like this, in schools in that manner for that particular thing. And the question is, why?
Well, I'm going to tell you why. I know exactly why. And here's what it is. There's a disconnect because society has changed to the point where teachers, one, are afraid to be, two, not allowed to be, and three, don't want to be disciplinarians anymore. Kids don't fear teachers. I've had, you know, heard stories of kids swinging at teachers. Even in the college where I taught, a kid swung at an instructor. Now, here's
yeah, you
the
are right about that. You are right about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, when I grew up, we feared
when I grew
our
up, you didn't
I
do that. I was scared of teachers.
Right. Exactly. Miss Keaton, fifth grade teacher, I said dang on a school bus. Dang. D-A-N-G. And we were playing the little, you know, you put your palms up, palms down, you slap the other person's hands on top. We were playing this on a field trip. And this dude kept tagging my hand. I was like, dang. And she said, stop cussing. I was like, she ain't talking to me. All I said, dang. I'm allowed to say dang in my house, so I knew she wasn't talking to me. I said again. She said, I said, stop cussing. She still ain't talking to me. I said, dang. She then joined in the game forcefully and slapped the tops of my hands in such a fashion that I still remember to this day. And when I say dang, I think it's not a curse word, but Miss Keaton sure didn't like that. That's also,
right,
by the way, the same teacher had their conference with my mom. So she smacked the toast off top of my hand in a very forceful way. She tagged me good. And I feared Miss Keaton. If Miss Keaton raised her voice, everybody listened.
Here's something, and I'm with you. I was in class, the same thing. In class, little boys talking, da-da-da-da. They used to take this piece of paper and you try it up into a little triangle. It was a football. You took your two thumbs, you put them together, and you hold up something that looked like a goalpost. One boy would take the little triangle and pluck it with his fingers across the room. Boom, I did it. I made it. And I was like, yeah. And the teacher looked at me, she said, Lee? And I was like, yes. She's like, are you making outbursts in my class? And I was like, no. Now are you telling other than the truth? Well, I didn't make an outburst because actually I didn't say anything that was directed. She called my mom. My mom came up to the school and told me. She said, you know, I'm about to smack the black off you. And she swung, connected. And I swear the next word that came out of my mouth is, dude, I'm so sorry. I guess she did it. But anyway, here's my thing. I want y'all to know, and in closing, I want y'all to know, the society that we live in is made up by us. It's made up by us, designed by us, it's formed by us. Our children are governed by us. And people, the things that people get away with are because of some of the things we allow. We will readdress this, but know that if you let it happen, you don't address it, it will continue to be so. Thank you for listening. We appreciate you. Raise your glasses. Bottoms to the top. We thank you for listening. And remember, every thought is grand. Every idea is warranted. And for every step you take and for every endeavor you make, may they always be on point.
On point.
On point. On point.